gonna be a great day because we're gonna make it a great day because we are great people. And when great people get together and do great things, we are able to pretty much put ourselves in a position where we're unstoppable. All right, so let's see here. Who is in here today? I want to say hi to you, Jessenia and Errol, Natasha. I see Albert Robinson, Joan Wakpara. I hope I said that right, man. I hope I didn't mess your name up. I'm so sorry if I did. Let's see, Dwayne Monroe, AC Salam, Olivia, Mario Cole, I'm sorry. Tammy Sims, Lilani, Dominique, let's see, Denise Bryant, Derek Holm, Jay Kelly, good morning to you, the Tillipatillo family. Let's see, Linda Kidd, Dwight Back, I see you, Sarah and Janelle. So good to see everybody. Good morning. I hope everybody's doing well. I hope everybody slept well because I think that sleep is really important. So I slept good and got up and drugged myself out of bed to go work out this morning. And I dropped my wife off at boot camp. And then instead of going to the gym, I actually came back home because we forgot to take out the trash cans. So I had to come home and take out the garbage. But then I did a run down the street. And it was really weird because as I was doing this run, I was really thinking I got kind of spoiled where I got used to running inside and on the treadmill where it's nice and warm. Right. So but treadmill running is not the same as running. Right. And I'd gotten so used to running on the treadmill that I was like, well, I'm home now. I don't have time to go to the gym before it's time to pick up Alicia. So I guess I got to just run around the neighborhood. And I remember thinking, but I don't feel like doing this. I really don't. I was thinking about, you know, my feelings. And I was like, I don't feel like doing this. And I said, boys, just do it. Just do it. Just start. So I did what I normally do. I take in financial information while I'm exercising. That's a good just multitasking tip. And I said, okay, I'm going to push myself out of my comfort zone and do this thing that I don't really want to do. And you know what? I really loved it. I really enjoyed it. And it was like I got used to it again. I was like, what was the big deal? And what I noticed is that sometimes it made me think about how a lot of times we have these little barriers, these things where we say, I need to go do this, but because it's not in your daily habit anymore, or maybe it never was, you don't want to do it. You just say no right off the bat. And I wrote a lot in my book, The 10 Commandments of Black Economic Power, about habits and how habits really shape us. And so I'd formed this habit of not wanting to run outside. And there was no rational reason for it. It was just, it's not what I'm used to. It's cold. I don't feel like doing it. And when I did it, I had the best time. It was the most comfortable run that I'd had in a while, and it was fresh air, and I was like, oh, this is so great, I'm gonna do this again. So I noticed, so here's what happened. This is interesting, and this is a great, I think, starting point for financial consciousness training, is I felt like I was on a little bit of a higher level. You know, I felt like I grew. I said, gosh, I've experienced growth today, because now tomorrow I'm going to want to go outside and run. So I went from not wanting to do it to saying, yeah, this is nice. I'm going to do this every day. This is better than the treadmill. And so so what I decided to do today, I'm sharing this publicly so that if you want to embrace this, you can. Here's what I think might be a secret to vibrating on a higher level, right? Because I'm not just a teacher, I'm always a student. When you become a professor, if you're a good professor, in my opinion, you shouldn't focus on all the things you know, you focus on all the things you don't know, because there's more of the universe that you don't know than there is that you do know. I know a lot, but there's so much more that I don't know. So I said to myself, I think what I'm going to start doing is forcing myself every day to do two things that are outside of my comfort zone. Right. Just two things that I don't want to do, where I just put it off. I procrastinate on it. You know, OK, I don't want to get on the phone and talk to so-and-so because it gets on my nerves, or I don't want to go to the blah, blah, blah. Or I don't feel like calling the dentist this week because I don't feel like going to just whatever. Anything that makes me uncomfortable and gets on my nerves. I said, you know, I'm going to force myself to do two things each day that are out of my comfort zone, because there is a saying that I believe in deeply that says that your greatest dreams live right outside of your comfort zone. Your wildest dreams all live right outside of your comfort zone. So if you can consistently confront your comfort zone, or maybe get an accountability partner as well, who will force you outside of your comfort zone, force you to do the thing that you're scared to do, you'll be amazed at how much growth you'll accomplish, because what'll happen is you'll realize that fear was irrational. All that worry and stress and everything that scared you, there was really nothing there in the first place. You just internalize it, and it was just there. So consider accountability partners. My wife got me. She's the one that really got me into exercising. I noticed that when I travel, I don't exercise as much as I do when she's around, because having her get up out of bed every morning gets me out of bed every morning, right? So try to find people around you that are going to be doing the things you want to do. Now, and speaking of that, later on this afternoon at noon, some of you are coming, some of you, all of you can come if you want to. I'm going to do a training basically for stock market investing for beginners. And I put together something I call the Dr. Boyce process, which is literally a 9-step process that will take you right through the steps of getting invested in the stock market. And you can share this with your family, share it with anybody you want to. You have lifetime access to all the materials, the slides, everything else. The fee is $99, again, for lifetime access, and it is, here's the link right here. So if you want to join this afternoon, there's space left, so feel free to join us for the noon event. All right, so, and I know some of you are already coming, so I look forward to seeing you there. I promise you, you're going to walk away with so much insight into stock market investing, and as you all know, I fully believe stock market investing, stock market participation is the number one, the most important thing, the most critical thing you can do if you want to have wealth in this society. Now, by the way, can you guys hear me okay? I think somebody said that they can't hear me. Give me a yes if you can hear me. Let me know if you can hear me okay. I want to make sure I'm coming through all right. All right, and by the way, if you didn't see that link, okay, thank you. Thank you for that. If you didn't see the link, just text the word, make sure you're on the text list. Text the word morning to 87948. If you text morning to 87948, you'll not only get invited to our daily financial consciousness training, but also I'll send out that link today via text for those that want to join the noon class. Okay. So just text morning to 87948 and it'll be and you'll be connected, you'll be wired in. Okay, thank you for giving me the yeses. Okay, so let me tell you something that was on my mind from a financial consciousness standpoint that I also think would be worthy of a discussion. Now, I promised myself today that because I'm getting ready for the event this afternoon, I was going to keep it at 30 minutes because y'all know, but I always say that and then I end up going like an hour and 15 minutes, hour and a half. Well, today I'm not going to do that. Today I'm going to really stick with the plan. And will the class be recorded, Curtis? Yes, it will. So again, the recording will be yours for life. The slides will be yours for life. There are bonus materials that are yours for life. And on top of that, it's buy one, get five free, meaning that you can share your login with your whole family if you want to. Each one teach one. We charge a fee because we have to run the Black Business School, and we have people that we have to pay, wonderful staff members that make this thing possible, because we're building a Black-owned university. We don't have any of those hardly. Even HBCUs are not Black-owned because it costs a lot of money. Well, you know what? We have figured out a model and it works, and we're much more effective at teaching Black wealth and Powernomics-based concepts than any institution on the planet. We are the best on earth at what we do, and we are the Harvard for Black people that want to be economically free and independent, right? So that's what we do, right? So that's why we charge the $99. So a university is going to charge you $30,000 a class. We might charge you $200, $400. Some stuff may cost more than $1,000, but for the most part, for this one, it's $99. It's a one-day training. It's going to be good. You're going to love it. If you don't love it, then let us know. We're very happy to give money back if you're not happy. All right, so let me bounce back. Let me jump into this consciousness training that I wanted to share with you guys. All right, so I did talk about this a little bit yesterday, but I had some more thoughts on this. And on my Instagram is Dr. Boyce Finance. And I have a backup at Dr. Boyce Money, because for some reason, being like super Black or doing the things I do, it upsets Instagram. So I had 600,000 followers and then they just took my page down. So now I had to rebuild. Now I have about 100,000 or something. So I'm like tiny on Instagram now. But anyway, on the page, I put this video up that I thought was really interesting from a financial consciousness standpoint. It was a video of a man who was delivering food to his child. Has anybody seen that video? It's a very short video of a man delivering food to his child's mother. And the child's mother, and I don't know if this video is a skit or not. People, you know, everybody's trying to get their little internet hustle on, so it could be a skit, you know. But I personally think that it was a good skit. It was a great skit. If it was a skit, it looked real. I mean, if it was fake, these people are great actors, because they really did act like. I mean, I really felt like I was watching something real, and I know I was watching something that I've seen before. So here's the deal. So basically, there the man is dropping food off to the mother of his daughter. And the mother instantly goes into this tirade where she basically says, I told you not to bring food for just one child. If you bring food for your child, you got to bring food for all the kids. And he said, well, why should I have to do that? Because that's my baby. I only have to feed my child. And she says, because it's not fair. You know, the other kids don't get to eat. She's the only one that's got food. That's not right. Right now, here's the thing. So when I put the post up, the typical debate started to occur where people start going back and forth about what he was supposed to do, what he's obligated to do. Right? That's not your child, or that's not. That's not his kid, so why should he have to pay? Somebody else says, well, that's not right because she's going to be eating in front of the other kids, whatever, blah 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 blah. Well, here's the part that really stuck out in my head is, first off, I'm gonna tell you my bias. This is my bias. This is from experience. I had a daughter with a woman who had a child with another man. Because I had a baby when I was 18, I told you all this story. This happened during my freshman year of college, and I would drop food off to my daughter all the time. And even as a struggling grad student where money was super tight, I never once thought that it even made any sense for me to give something to my daughter and then not allow her brother to have something too, right? I didn't, I didn't know, the kid's father. I didn't know what the situation was. But all I know is that my daughter would have felt very uncomfortable getting food and eating food in front of her brother, and while her brother's sitting there hungry, right? And so pretty much when I did stuff for my daughter or with my daughter, I would include him too, just because I thought that was just what decent people do. But apparently, we've gotten to this era, I guess, where people have their own, they have the right to make their own decision. They say, look, if that's your child, you only have an obligation to take care of your child, which makes me kind of sad, honestly, because I have a lot of empathy for children because I was a neglected child. I know what it's like to be abused. I was an abused child in certain ways, not terribly abused, but I was abused. I have to admit that. And so when I see a child that's sad, I feel very sad. I internalize that. I can't get rid of that, but I hold on to that because that keeps me connected to other people. I like being an empath, and so I'm gonna just go ahead and confess that. Maybe that makes me a simp or something. I have no idea, but I'm a proud simp then because I really, really care about children, even if they're not my own. Now, here's the thing though. You can make it a simple argument to say that your obligation only goes as far as your seed. That's your child. You only have to feed that child. You don't have to feed anybody else's kid. Screw those kids, right? And I guess that's okay too, right? That, no one can tell you that you have to feed someone else's child. Really, the way it's supposed to work is that every child's supposed to have two parents that care about them, and then somehow, for whatever reason, in the cosmic lottery, you have children that don't have anybody that's doing anything for them because everybody's off. I don't know what they're doing. Maybe they're off twerking or something. And so, anyway, with that said, though, here's the point I want to get to. This is the financial consciousness part of it all. As I said, isn't it interesting that you have this couple that's let's just be clear. Can we at least agree on this? Can we at least agree that when adults are fighting, it's not healthy for kids? Can we at least agree on that? Give me a yes or no if we can agree that when children have to watch their parents fight over a cheeseburger, it's stressful to children. Children would rather see adults get along than to see them fight. Now, of course, we don't care about kids anymore, apparently. We only care about ourselves. We live in a selfish world, right? But we can agree on that. Okay, so we can agree on that. Also, can we agree that if one child out of the four has food and the other four kids have no food, can we give me a yes if we can agree that that is an awkward situation? Can we agree that the child with the food who's sitting there enjoying her cheeseburger and her French fries while her hungry siblings are watching her eat, that's gonna make her feel really weird, right? In fact, it might get her beat up if the kids are hungry enough. I hate saying, saying like, I don't want that to happen, but I don't know. That's a good way to get bullied, right? So we can agree on that, right? So we've agreed on two points. One, that children are hurt when adults are fighting, and then number two, that it's very awkward for the child who has the food to be sitting there eating good while everyone else is starving. If you know the story of the French Revolution, you'll know that that's why people got their heads chopped off, right? Because Marie Antoinette and her homies were eating good, everybody else was starving, and then allegedly they claimed that she said, let them eat cake, which actually I don't know if she actually said that, but it just because but in those situations the truth doesn't matter anymore. So basically people said, oh, she said we need to go eat cake instead of because we don't have enough bread. Oh, we're gonna go chop her head off. And that's kind of how things ended, right? Because so basically your child's sitting there eating, everybody else is hungry. The kid could poor kid could get their head chopped off, and figuratively speaking, of course. Now, can we agree on this too? Can we also agree, a level three, that it's very painful for the children who are sitting there? The child is seven, right? They don't understand baby mama ism. They don't understand that daddy ain't around because he all getting high. They don't understand mass incarceration might be why they don't have a parent. They don't understand how drug addiction has destroyed the black community and ruined the black family. They don't understand that mama ain't around because mama's off twerking. They don't understand any of that. All the little 7-year-old knows, all the 7-year-old knows is that I'm hungry and my sister has food and I don't have none. Can we at least agree that that's very sad for that child? Can we at least have some empathy for how that little 7-year-old's gonna feel? They don't understand none of y'all's BS. It's the adults that mess up the world. We're the ones who get into our stupid, because we never address our issues, we don't heal. So we create these stupid, chaotic situations for children where the little 7-year-old who's just learning about life, who could be getting taught mathematics, they could be getting taught business, they could be getting taught how to be successful, they could be taught how to go out and achieve things in the world, but instead they're learning that you should be ready to stab a Negro over a cheeseburger if they make you mad enough. That's what they're watching. They're literally watching two people fight to the death. Because one person got McDonald's and somebody else didn't. That's what you call low vibrational behavior, right? So when we talk about economic consciousness, the goal is to get up here, up high, so you don't have to swim down low, right? You don't have to operate on level one. You can get to level six. So here's what I want you to process for a minute. I want you to process this. Part of the reason when I saw that guy, and again, I don't know if the video was a skit or not. Everybody says, whenever I share a video, everyone says, oh, that's just a skit. But y'all don't understand, in the black community, things get so weird that the truth is more interesting than fiction. Like some stuff you may think is actually fake is actually real. And in fact, I remember I saw the rapper Trinidad James. If y'all remember Trinidad James, he was on the Breakfast Club the day after I was there, and I remember Trinidad James, and I saw his video, and I put it on Facebook, and it was the most buffoonish stuff I've ever seen in my life. It was a really straight up minstrel show, and with a lot of guns and drugs in it. And I put it on my page, and people said, "Oh, Doc, you're being an old man. This isn't even real. This video's a spoof." There were people clowning me. They were saying, "Oh, you must be a boomer because you don't understand. This is just a joke. This hip hop isn't that bad." But it wasn't a spoof. It was real. It was 100% real, right? So a lot of times, so to some extent, it's almost like a segment of our community has really been spoofed. You'll see something that you think, like, "Gosh, this can't be real. Nobody is that crazy." But it'll be real. It'll be real stuff, right? So this video, whether it's fake or real, I don't know. I know that the situation is real. So here's what I thought about, and this is where I want us to kind of process this. When you operate on a low vibrational frequency and your economic consciousness is low and there's a lack of resources, what can happen is you can get into a scarcity mindset. The scarcity mindset is where you get to the point where you are fighting over resources because there's not enough for everybody, right? If there's enough for everybody, that minimizes conflict. Minimizing conflict strengthens relationships, which also strengthens families, which strengthens possibilities. It strengthens opportunities for collaboration. If I go into a situation with you, and we're both hungry, and there's only enough food for one person, then we're gonna have to fight over that food. I believe that one of the goals of racism is to give you enough scraps so that you end up fighting the person next to you in order to get your share of the pie. And then if you don't get your share of the pie, you get mad at the person that's next to you as opposed to getting mad at the person who made the pie in the first place. Who decided that there would only be to share, right? Who made that rule? And I'll share a joke that kind of expresses some of this, and then I promise you I'm gonna get back to that original situation. There was a rich man, a union worker, and a lady on welfare. They were all sitting at a table, and there were 10 cookies that they could share. So the rich guy takes 9 out of the 10 cookies, and then he whispers to the union worker. He says, "That lady over here is trying to steal your damn cookie." Right? So this, did you get the joke? Do you get the joke? So the rich guy took all the cookies off the table before he even let you split the last cookie. And then you get to fighting over the last cookie. And then when you don't have enough cookies, you look over at the person next to you. You look at the lady on welfare and you say, "You took my cookie." When really, if you really back out and you look at it from a higher consciousness standpoint, higher consciousness means you've elevated, you can see the bigger picture. You say, "Wait a minute, no. The reason we don't have enough cookies is because the rich guy took all the cookies off the table in the beginning." So here's where I'm getting at with this. Let's circle back to that original situation. I believe that if there was enough for everybody, I don't think that this man would be in a situation where he has to choose either I'm going to stretch myself financially in a way that's uncomfortable by buying more food than I can afford, or I have to be the bastard who only feeds my daughter. I'm under the assumption that a decent man, and maybe I'm making a big assumption here because there's a lot of indecent men out here. I don't know. It's life. But I'm going to make the assumption that a decent man who has plenty of money has no problem feeding multiple children. I'm under the assumption that a decent man who loves his daughter, who doesn't want her to be in the awkward, horrific situation of being the only kid in the group to have food, I'm gonna be live under the assumption that the father, if he loves his daughter, if he truly loves her, would not put her in that situation where she's got food and everyone else is starving. I would not want to do that to my child. I would not want them in a situation where they're gonna get beat up because I bought food for them and isolated them in a group where everybody else doesn't have enough. Right. So here's what I'm getting at. I think that one of the challenges that you have in families, and the reason you have to make these really crazy, awkward, hard, traumatic choices, is because your black men are not trained on how to make money at an early age. Black males are the most undereducated group of people in America. They are the least prepared to succeed financially in America. You just are. It's just a fact. Well, why is that? Well, part of it is obviously racism. I don't think America is a country that ever wanted to see truly intelligent, educated, strong, capable black men, because then we become a threat. Then we're ready to fight you. That's where Toussaint L'Ouverture comes from. That's where Nat Turner comes from. They don't want a bunch of Nat Turners. They don't want a bunch of Malcolm X's. They don't want a bunch of Boyce Watkinses out here. If you had 10 million Boyce Watkinses out here, oh, the revolution would be over. We would have more money than white people. Can you imagine if there were 10 million young black males who thought like me, who understood finances and economics like me? Oh, we would walk in and take everything you got. You would have to come and kill all of us. So effectively, my point is to say that yeah, the racism's there. We know this, right? We know what happens in the public school system. I know that I've been hunted since birth. I know I understood why Instagram took down my Facebook page, even though they don't take down pages of rappers that are promoting the most degenerate, horrific. So they're promoting drug use and violence. I understand that, right? I wasn't mad about it. I said, "Yeah, if I were you, I'd want to get rid of somebody like me too." I understand why the public school system tried to redirect me toward medication and special education, right? I understand why they told my 17-year-old single mother to abort me so that I would never be born. I understand these things. It's the baby Jesus story. The black man is a type of super being that they fear on every level. That we're already more physically capable than anyone else. And I believe that when we're at our best, we're also intellectually more capable than everyone else. I do believe that. So effectively, we know this, right? This is real, right? So let's finish the part of the conversation where we blame the white man for all of this, because yes, he's complicit 100%. I want to go to the next part of the conversation where we look at ourselves and we look at each other. I want to go to the next part of the conversation where we know that we're being robbed in broad daylight, that we're being misled in broad daylight, that our children are being destroyed in broad daylight, and we ain't doing nothing about it. I want to get to that part of the conversation. Because I can tell you this. When I look at Black boys and I go into a classroom full of Black boys and I say, what do you want to be when you grow up? And half of them say, I want to be a basketball player. And the other half say, I want to be a football player. And then the other thirds or whatever, with the rest of them say, I want to be a rapper. This is what's happening to a lot of your young Black males. They're being misdirected and rejected by public school systems and also by the economic system. And then on top of that, they're being guided by these false dreams of athletic success or entertainment success. And because there are only so many seats at that table, especially when you don't own anything, when you don't own any of these institutions or industries, then there aren't that many opportunities out there, right? So it kind of becomes this horrible scenario where you've got the millions of these men that are trying to figure out a way to make a dollar out of 15 cents. And they're in the unfortunate, horrific situation that no Black boy should ever be put into, where a Black boy grows into a Black man who has to go beg a white man to let him feed his family. I will just tell you right now, I don't care if anybody gets offended by this, but a Black man should not be in a position where he's got to beg a white man to get enough money to buy food for his daughter. That part of the whole discussion is crazy. It's illogical. It makes no sense. It has never worked. It infuriates me, honestly. It infuriates me. Because you're taking your position, comfortably taking your position in second place, third place, fourth place, whatever place you're in, and you're just hoping that somebody comes along and gives you the ability and the right to do what a lot of people believe a man is supposed to do. So here's what I believe. I don't think that the economy is built to absorb African-American males. I just don't. I think that there are jobs out there, sure. There are those of us that go to school and get our degrees and sometimes they do okay. Sometimes you fit right into corporate America and everything goes wonderfully for you. And if you're in that category, then congratulations to you. I think that's great. But I meet more men who can't get the job that they want. I meet more men who didn't get the promotion they deserve, who aren't making the money that they need to make in order to do the things they need to do. And it's very, very frustrating to the point where you end up in these little stupid cheeseburger arguments, where you're literally fighting because everybody knows you should feed all the damn kids. They ain't gotta be your kids. Why is it so controversial to say that these are children? They're your children. Who the hell is in charge of your community, Black man? Seriously, who, if you run around saying, well, those ain't my kids, I don't give a damn about the little Negroes, like, who's in charge of your community? And why are you surprised when no one respects you? Well, seriously, I just have to say this, who's in charge of your community? If you run around saying, well, I got one kid, I'm gonna get food for mine, but I ain't feeding none of these other little Negroes. I'm sorry, look. That's not manhood. I'm sorry. That's not masculinity at all. That's not. Masculinity is the ability to provide and protect things. It's the ability to say, this is our territory. We got this. When you present yourself to the world as a child, as an immature little child, then the world's going to treat you like a damn child. And it's not your fault. I get it. That's what America does. You look up to these millionaire entertainers who act like children. 50 Cent, the rapper 50 Cent, is one of the great heroes of hip hop. But this man, if you go follow him on Instagram, you'll see that everything he does is horrifically immature. The man's damn, he's old enough to be a grandfather, but he acts like a teenager. So the immaturity is something that's fed to you on a regular basis. So you have a lot of immature men who've internalized all this. So what I'm saying to you is, here's my perspective on this. And I know it's gonna offend some people, but I just don't give a damn. When you show up and the children all need to eat, you should be in a position where you can feed the kids and not think nothing of it. And that's what I want for you. I want you to be in a position where it ain't nothing but a thing for you to pull out an extra $20 bill and say, you know what, let's get something for all the kids. And then, because you never know, maybe those children will look up to you. They'll say, oh, well, he's a great guy. He's not my daddy, but I wish my daddy ain't nothing. But this man over here, Just like even back in the day, even back in the day, you hear guys that'll say, I grew up and I was looking up to the pimps and the dope dealers and stuff like that. Even the pimps and the dope dealers had more class than some of these weak, flimsy Negroes that you see out here online right now. Seriously, even the pimps and even the dope dealer might say, "Hey boy, make sure you stay in school and don't be coming around here after school. You need to go get an education." Right? People like that, they had even that old school wisdom that even a pimp or a dope dealer might have had. Like, "Don't be like me, man. You don't want to mess with drugs like this, because this is gonna mess you up." Like, I had that kind of wisdom around me. What I never saw was a man who just said, I got a cheeseburger for my daughter, but I can't, these other kids, I don't know, I ain't got nothing to do with none of that." That's kind of weird to me. I can remember, let me tell you, I remember one time I was in the I was I, me and my friend, my cousin Carrie, we got on our bikes and we rode our bikes to eat at some fast food restaurant. Let's say it was McDonald's. So we get to McDonald's and we order our food. And we didn't have enough money. I had a bunch of change. He had some change. So we're sitting at the counter just counting our change, right? Just trying to figure out, like, the total is $6.42. And I think we had like $5.80 or something. So we're counting our pennies, literally trying to figure out how we can buy this food. It's life or death in that moment. We're stressed out. We didn't know what to do. And let me tell you what happened. So there was this black man sitting there, and I don't know what this man did, but I never forgot this man. He's sitting there watching us as two little black boys counting our money, trying to buy this food. And you know what he did? He's reached in his pocket, pulled out a dollar, and just threw it down on the table and just gave it to us. Didn't say a word, just laid that dollar on the table. And we just looked up, confused, like, "Whoa, this man is giving, helping us." And we said, "Thank you." And do you know, I never forgot that man. To me, because to me that was the most masculine thing in the world for him to do, is for him to just be like, it's just a dollar, here you go." Like, to me, that's what black men, I'm sorry, that is my bias, I know, but that to me is the kind of men that, those are the men I can relate to, right? The men, and here's the thing, to be that kind of man, it's not just a matter of having the right mindset. Some men can't be that man because they just can't be that man. They're either not emotionally equipped. Maybe they grew up with their mama doing everything and them kind of being the baby. Or maybe they were never taught how to even make enough money where it's not a big deal for you to throw another $5, $10 down on the table. Right? I get that. I understand that. So what I'm saying is, here's my goal. Here's what I believe. See, I'm not worried about what we are, where we are right now. I'm looking at what kind of men are we going to have 20 years from now? What kind of men are we going to have in the year 2060 and the year 2070? Are we going to build more children with beards and mustaches, children who are capable of making babies and wreaking havoc and abandoning people? Or are we going to build men who have the accountability and the responsibility for the broader community, who say, "Yeah, I didn't make this whole mess, but guess what? I'm strong enough to help clean it up." Right? I think that building men in the latter category is how you build a strong black community. I think that's how you build strong families. I think that's how you create a community where your daughter has somebody great to marry. And the one important element of building these men is you gotta make sure that they are financially capable. You gotta make sure that they're financially literate. You gotta make sure that they're financially prepared. Because a black man who is financially prepared, who knows how to make money in many, many ways, other than just begging a white man for a job, is typically the kind of man who can come through and be the benefactor for the community that many of us need, right? He can come through as the superhero. He can be the Michael Jordan that can score points in the clutch. Michael Jordan, if you think about him as just as a basketball player, not as a person, let's put that to the side, as a basketball player, because Jordan prepared so well and because he prepared himself to be the greatest player in history, Michael Jordan was so good that he would literally look at the guy at the end of the bench and he'd say, "I'm gonna go win a championship ring for you. I'm gonna get a ring, and I'm gonna get extra rings so you can have one too, because I know you can't win a championship. And so rather than me complaining about that, I'm just gonna go carry this team on my back and make this happen." And I think that we can have men like that, right? I think we can have men who literally just have the ability to make things, to manifest things financially, and they're not gonna have to argue over low vibrational conversations like who's gonna get a cheeseburger and who's not. I don't wanna have to make a decision. In fact, it would make me feel incredibly crappy as a human being to have to feed one child because I'm scared or I can't afford to help feed the other four. right? Because, you know, or to be so petty that I'm caught up in thinking, well, the reason these other four can't eat is because their own parents should be feeding them. Whatever. I don't know. Again, not everybody's going to agree. Some people are going to say that you only have to take care of what belongs to you, and I understand that. But again, my bias is that I was taken care of by a masculine man named Larry Watkins, where I was not his biological son, but he loved me as if I was his own. And the ROI for him is that my loyalty to him means that as he got older, there was nothing that he didn't want. Anything he wants right now to this day, I will go buy that for him, because I appreciate the fact that he stepped up for me in a world where so many men are being taught that you don't have to step up for nobody but yourself. So that's my two cents. I know it may sound biased and judgmental, and if you disagree, you have every right to disagree, but I personally think that but these ideas are not uncommon. Think about this. Think about how many women there are that teach in a school where they use their own money to buy school supplies for the kids that can't afford them. Think about how many football coaches or track coaches there are out here who do what I used to have to do. I used to coach kids in the hood on track and field, and some kids would show up for the field trip and have no money for food, no money for a uniform, and never once did it cross my mind to say, well, screw you. I want you to suffer because your parents didn't do what they were supposed to do. I didn't think that way. I was, you know, the way I thought was, okay, let's take you to Walmart, get you some clothes for the trip, whatever, right? Whatever was done. But that's the other thing too. Remember, part of the reason I was able to do that was because I'd prepared. Similar to how Michael Jordan prepared to be a great basketball player, my goal was to prepare to be a great black man. And so my preparation for being a great black man meant that I spent many years in school. So by the time I finished school, by the time I was coaching those kids, I was making six figures, which meant that I was then able to step in and do these things, right? If I was not prepared, then I may not have been able to do these things. So what I'm saying to you is this: look, some people do whatever they can. Some people do what is required, right? And I think in our community, we don't need people that can just do what they can. We need people that are going to do what's required. But the thing about doing what is required is it helps if you can do what is required. And that's the issue, right? Some people just do what they can. You know, I think they have a rap lyric where they say suckers do what they can. But then you got people that do what is required, right? What is required means we just gonna figure this out. But then, but what helps is when you can do that which is required. And a lot of our people just can't do it. A lot of our brothers, I hate saying it, but a lot of them can't do it. Well, why is it? Why is that? Well, because nobody prepared them. Nobody, they just trained them to be rappers and basketball players and whatever the hell they're training our boys to be. And I personally think our boys should be trained to be wealth builders, entrepreneurs, and investors. Because I don't know a single man who runs a successful business who's doing well financially who wouldn't buy an extra cheeseburger for their daughter's best friend. Right. And what I really want those guys to understand is the tremendous amount of power and fulfillment you get by knowing that you can be one of the neighborhood dads that's really coming through for the kids whose parents aren't coming through for them. And if you want to know my perspective, I am one of those dads. I hear our kids and they talk about their friends and the crazy situations their parents put them into. And I told my wife, I said, I need us to be a rock in the community. I want us to be the stable family where the child knows that they can come to our house and they're going to get something different from what they're getting at home. You know, when our son's friend was having some problems with his parents, they were putting him out or whatever. He was sneaking sleep on the couch. I said, you always have a place in this house. You always, you know, come over here. You, when you're in this house, you're one of us. We got you. And that's the kind of black community that I dream about, is where we can all look at each other and say, I got you. I know life is hard, but I got you. I know people ain't treating you right, but I got you. I know you don't feel love, but I got you. This is how I feel. And I feel very passionate about it. As you can tell, I didn't expect to have this emotional reaction. But I want to say, if you're in that category, I want to encourage you, and I want to thank you. I want to thank you because when I was a baby, like, nobody had me. Like, my own father wasn't even there. You know, and if I had run into the world that some of these kids are being forced to deal with, I don't know where I would be. Do you understand? Like, the reason I was able to become the man I am now is because somebody in the community said, I got you. My mother had to drop me off at people's houses to babysit me. You know, I mean, it was hard. You know what I mean? So I just don't understand this. I don't think we should let immaturity win. I just don't. You know, so I'm gonna stop now. I'm gonna end because I said I'd be done in 30 minutes, and I don't want to sit here like a big old crybaby. I apologize for that. But this is what I feel, right? So if you're doing that, right? So this is encouragement. If you are the teacher who goes the extra mile, thank you. You know, if you're the coach that takes kids under his wing, thank you. You know, if you are the person in the neighborhood that's there for the kids who don't have good parents, thank you. If you're the pastor, I mean, Lord, I mean, you know, I know so many pastors who are just emotionally drained, and deacons and stuff because they're doing so much for everybody. I just want to say thank you. Because if our community is able to survive and thrive in the future, it's going to be because of people like you. It's going to be because you were willing to go that extra mile. So I can't speak for everybody else, but when I'm speaking to you, I just want to encourage you to keep on doing that because it does make a difference. So that's it. I'm done. Lord, see y'all and got me going. I didn't even know I was gonna talk about this stuff today. But let's get our boys economically prepared so we don't have to make hard decisions over a cheeseburger. That's really the financial lesson, because I don't think that that's how we're supposed to be. We're not supposed to operate on that frequency at all. We're the original man and the original woman. We ain't supposed to be operating on level zero. I don't believe in that. So anyway, I'm gonna head on out. It is really time for me to go. If you want to join us today at noon, we're doing the event on how to get started in stock market investing. I put together a nice step by step for anybody that wants to get that's a beginner at investing and you really want to understand the ropes. There's the link right there in the chat. If you don't see the link, then just text the word morning to 87948. Text morning to 87948, and I will text out the link where you guys can join. It's lifetime access with all the materials, everything. Also, if you text the word morning to 87948, you'll get an invitation to come back tomorrow. We're gonna do financial consciousness training every single day, 7 days a week. And last but not least, if you want to get any of our materials for kids, if you want to get your kids ready, we have financial flashcards, workbooks, all kinds of stuff at my website, drboycebooks.com. So feel free to go to drboycebooks.com. You can use the code word book club to get 30% off, all one word. Use the code word book club. It'll knock off a big discount. So have a good day, everybody. God bless you, and thank you for dealing with my babbling. And I apologize for the emotional reaction, but this is I think this is very serious. And I wish you all the very best. So I'll see you all tomorrow. I love you. Bye bye.